Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much. For joining me today, it's my pleasure. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, well, you're obviously a highly intelligent person. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. It's all there just for you. We work so hard to make that available to you to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, and I hope you'll take advantage of it, and it's free. That's right. It's all available for you. And you can thank, if you would like to say thank you, you can say it to me if you want, or my organization. But mostly, I hope you'll thank our outstanding corporate partners. They work really hard in supporting all the things that we do, and so that you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. So check that out when you get a chance. Don't forget to check out our new blog. And I say it's new. It's been out. We've had it about a month or so. I'll have to stop saying that before long, won't I? It's Jim's blog, and it's on the homepage at smallbusinessadvocate.com, or you can go directly there by going to jimsblog.biz. Dr. Roos is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's a good friend of ours and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's our real estate expert. He's written so many books on real estate investing that I think I hurt myself carrying them to the studio. One of them is one of the many ones that you've probably seen, 100 Ways to Massively Increase the Value of Your Real Estate, also Real Estate Riches, and on, Making Money in Real Estate. I don't know, he's got something under 100 books that he's written and something under 10 million sold. He's our good friend. Dolph, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
You have written less than 100 books, right?
That is accurate, yes.
Okay, good. I want to make sure. But you're encroaching on that, aren't you?
Well, I'm working on it, you know. I just, you know what it is? It's my way of not having to answer the same question 100 times.
good for you, Dolph. Hey, Dolph, we've always heard that real estate is a good investment. And then we hear Mr. Greenspan, you know, jawboning about the bubbles. He's concerned about the bubbles, the real estate bubbles around the country, and he's really worried about that. And you know, when the truth is when Mr. Greenspan has a furrowed brow about something, it's prudent to pay attention to what he's worried about. Should we be worried about real estate?
Well, I don't think so, but here's my take on it, and it's timely that you should ask about bubble bursting, because this weekend I just finished a special report on the bubble bursting, and I start off, Jim, by saying something like, the question, will the bubble burst, or more ominously, when will the bubble burst, is quite an arrogant question, because inherent in the question is the assumption that there is a bubble to burst in the first place.
I was going to say, isn't the best question, is there a bubble?
That is a better question indeed. And I personally don't believe that there is a bubble. Here are my reasons for it, Jim. The population of this country at the moment is around 296 million.
Right.
But it is growing rapidly. Every week, this country admits 15,000 new green card holders. And here in Arizona...
Never mind the illegals.
Well, I was going to say, in Arizona, where I'm based at the moment, alone, they say every night 1,500 come over the border. They say in Texas something like 1 million illegals a year. Now, the funny thing is, if you drive around the cities of Arizona and Texas, you do not see thousands of illegals sleeping in park benches and under shrubs and all that sort of thing. It doesn't happen. They all end up being accommodated. That is why there's this tremendous growth in population. They say California is going to double in the next 25 years.
That's scary.
Yeah, it is. And they say the population of this country will hit 350 million within 30 years. That is a lot of extra people.
A lot of houses.
A lot of houses, a lot of increase in demand, and therefore I think prices have been going up, not because there's this bubble that's about to burst and the median house house price is about to be decimated. I think it's merely a natural result that we've got so many more people coming in. Of course prices will go up.
But aren't... You know, the population issue is one thing, but the location of the houses and the way the houses are being built and the prices of those houses, it seems to me that there actually may be I don't think there's a national housing bubble, and I agree with you on that, and that's what you were basically just describing is the argument against a national housing bubble. But I do think that there probably are regional or local housing bubbles, like in some of the bigger cities.
Well, a city that I have a fascination with is Las Vegas in Nevada, because I've always predicted, and I know the greatest test of willpower is to refrain from saying, I told you so, but here it goes. I've predicted for about 7 years now that Las Vegas had to pop, that prices were way too low. And indeed, in the last 3 years, we've seen a tremendous increase in median value. In 1 year alone, from June 03 to June 04, the median price went up by 53.7%. Now, that's the median. That means there are parts that went up by a lot more.
And you own a lot of houses in Las Vegas now, don't you?
Well, that is true, yes.
Stand by. Dolph DeRoos, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm your host. And he and I will be right back after these messages. It's 20 Tell. Stay with us. Lindsey Buckingham, ladies and gentlemen.
And I so still.
I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm a big fan of Fleetwood Mac, and Lindsey Buckingham may be the best guitar player I've ever heard. It's pretty good. Dolph DeRoos is pretty good on guitar, aren't you, Dolph?
You know, years ago, I used to study classical guitar.
See, I told you, I knew that.
And I used to play in a duo. But what happens is the pads of your fingers where you touch the fretboard, they get very tough. And right now the pads of my left hand are like, they're soft as anything. So I haven't played in years.
I play for my own amazement, and I used to have, when I played a lot more often, I had calluses that would peel off of the tips of my fingers.
That's right. That's exactly what would happen.
Dolph DeRoos, ladies and gentlemen, he's actually more known for his real estate savvy than he is his guitar playing, although I'd love to hear him play the guitar sometime. You'll have to do a little solo for us on the show one of these days,
All right. That's the deal.
We're talking about real estate is an investment, folks, and Dolph says there's no bubble, there's no national bubble, but don't you think, Dolph, that there may be like some regional ones? I mean, don't you think that L.A. and Miami surely, if there ever should be a bubble, Washington, D.C. ought to be a place where there'd be a bubble, but it's such an artificial economy there with the government, isn't it?
Well, that's an artificial economy. But, you know, as I was saying, I've done a lot of work in Las Vegas, and if there is a bubble somewhere, it should be Las Vegas, because it's had singularly the biggest and most massive run-up in property values that we've seen anywhere on this planet. The median house price went from something like $130,000 to $250,000 in a very short space of time.
Right.
Now, here's what's happened. The market has come off the top. There are currently 12,000 homes on the market in Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
and by rights, prices should have halved, and yet they haven't. They've come off the top by maybe 5%.
Right.
And I don't believe that there's a bubble in Las Vegas that has burst. I think there's been a slight coming off the top, but people are still moving to Las Vegas in droves.
That's
something
right.
like 5,000 a month are moving there. So again, it's just this natural surplus of demand over supply that is causing the run-up in values.
Dolph, you've written so many books about real estate. Tell the audience how they can find out more about these.
Well, the best way is to go to my website, which is www.dolphderoos.com, DolphDeRoos.com, DolphDeRoos.com, and there you'll find all the information that you could want on the books we've got, other products we've got, audios and events and all that sort of thing. But I want to make one point, Jim, is a lot of people make their money by producing products on real estate. And I make my money by investing. I am first and foremost an investor. Mm-hmm. I just love the game so much, I'm willing to share what I do. And I think there's a significant difference there. I believe that right now there are way too many self-appointed gurus on real estate. 264 of them at last count.
Right.
Check them all out at another website. But in 2 years' time, when the fever about real estate might have been gone, then some of them will have gone back to ostrich farms and berry fruit harvesting and all that sort of thing.
The other thing that I like about what you say, Dolph, is that, I mean, your information is realistic. It's not pie in the sky. It's not glossed over and where you think you tell people that it's easy, because it's not easy, but it is possible and it can be done. And you don't tell them that they're going to get rich quick by investing
right.
in real estate.
I tell them how to get rich slowly and surely.
Yeah, that's the right way to do it. Let's talk about owning your own, the real estate that your business is in. Dolph, I call this the stealth benefit of being a business owner. I wrote an article about this once and where I talked about how so many small businesses that I've known where mom and pop started the business 30 years ago, and after 30 years, they passed a business on to their kids that might have been worth maybe $2 or $3 million. But the real estate that they invested in, that they paid almost nothing for 30 years ago, very quietly, very, very subtly, became worth $10 million.
That is so true, and it is so interesting. And you've touched on the benefits of owning the real estate that you run your business out of. But I've got another angle for you, Jim, and that is the benefit of buying real estate when you know that you're going to put your business in it. And it goes as follows. With a residential property, the value of that property is unaffected by whether it's tenanted or not.
Right.
In other words, a four-bedroom, three-bathroom house in that suburb in that condition will sell for X dollars whether it's tenanted or not. That contrasts with commercial property, where the value of a commercial property is dependent on the rental income that it generates.
That's right.
So therefore,
no emotion, just whether it produces income or not.
That's right. So you might be able to find a building that is vacant or part vacant, and you'll pick it up for a song because there's hardly any rental income there,
mm-hmm.
and yet you put your own business in it. And the mere fact that you operate your profitable business out of those premises means there's now rental income for the real estate, which means the value of the real estate might double the day you
mm-hmm.
buy it.
That's right.
Interesting.
It really is. And when you realize that you can pay yourself that rent that you ordinarily would be paying to somebody else if you were renting is really something. And especially owning your own real estate and leasing it from yourself, your business, leasing the real estate from the owner of the real estate and the owner of the business, it's actually an income strategy, isn't it?
It is an income strategy. And, you know, when you first buy a building, the income that your business has to pay whatever entity you've got the building in, it might just cover the mortgage payment. So you might think, gee, I've got all this risk of having this debt of the mortgage, and I'm
right.
no better off. But as time goes on, and as you've alluded to, Jim, rents slowly increase over time, whereas the mortgage, at worst, stays the same. At worst, I mean, if you're on an interest-only
mm-hmm.
loan. But if you're on a P&I loan, say a 30-year P&I loan, then at the end of 30 years, that mortgage is paid off, your rents have increased. You're probably making more money by owning your own building than you are from the business.
And the income that you get from the rent is passive income and therefore not subject to payroll withholding.
That
Stand
is
by.
Absolutely correct.
Stand by. We're going to be right back. Not income tax, but the payroll tax. Stand by. Tintail. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Dolph DeRoos is our guest, and he's one of the top real estate experts in the world, probably in the universe, ladies and gentlemen, and he's our good friend. And if you want to go back and listen to some of the things that Dolph has taught us in the past over the last few years, find him in our Brain Trust listing. If you go to the Brain Trust on the left side of the homepage, or actually on the left side of any page, go to the Brain Trust, go to the alphabetical listing of the Brain Trust members, or I think he may be in there under real estate as well. Find his name, click on that, and that'll take you to the archives, or just go to his link on the schedule page or on the blog that where he is going to be all week long, and you can find it, all of the past archives that we've done in the past. DrRoos.com is the website, and you can check it out and find out more about all the things that he does and his books that are there and they're available. Are your books available in bookstores as well? They are, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Barnes & Noble, Borders, you name it, all
right.
over the country.
So check that out.
All over the world, Jim. We've been fortunate enough to be on the bestseller list in 5 countries simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. We're very, very happy about that. But, Jim, something you were saying a moment ago. I went to San Jose last week to do an event there. And
San Jose, California.
That's right. You're right, actually. You know, there are 53 San Jose's in the world. But anyway, I was taken to a restaurant, a little Indonesian restaurant, a sort of hole in the wall in the strip mall shopping center. And I was talking with the owner because my parents used to live in Indonesia for a while. And in fact, I've been there on many occasions. So I was just chatting with him. And he'd been there for 30 years. He was obviously an elderly man. I said, what are you going to do? He said, well, none of my kids want to work the restaurant. Business is down. I think I'll just shut it down. He said, but it's been good to me. It's put my children through college, and it's given me an interest, and it's given me an income. And it never occurred to me until you said it now. If he'd bought the building 30 years ago, which he probably would have picked up for a massive, at the time, $40,000 or $50,000, it's got to be worth $5 or $6 million now there.
Yeah, kind of absolutely.
He
absolutely.
Could have retired in style, and instead he struggled for 30 years, cooking every day to put food on the table in front of his guests.
And paying rent and making somebody else rich.
And paying someone else an ever-escalating rental.
No, that's something I tell people all the time. Unless you live in a place where you can't own it, like if you're in New York City or something, and you're a small business and you can't buy a high rise, but you need that location, or unless you're not sure where you're going to be for a while, and you need to own the property you're going to be in maybe in a year or two. I mean, I rented for a while. I rented for about 3 years before I bought the real estate that I'm in right now, But unless except those two cases, you should try to buy your real estate anytime you get a chance.
Right, and the other thing, and I've probably said this before, but when you study elderly people, those who are going into retirement and beyond, and look at their biggest asset, it won't be the car they bought in 1965 that's become a classic, or the stamp collection they started at the age of 8 that their uncle assured them one day would be worth a fortune. For 99% of Americans, when they retire, their biggest asset is their home. And their biggest lament will be, if only we'd bought two when we bought this one, because we'd be so much better off now.
Oh, yeah. Well, back to the example of the mom and pop that I talked about earlier, industries come and go. Divisions of industry, sectors of industries come and go. Things that were popular 20, 30 years ago, you may not even be able to sell those things. Literally, the business may not be worth anything to pass on to your children. But how many times do you see where the real estate still is? Real estate doesn't have, in most cases, except in certain blighted areas that areas have become, the economy has gone down, except in those cases, real estate doesn't have a season, does it?
No, it does not. And it's a very interesting point, because you're right, industries go down. I often talk about telex machines or slide rules, and many people don't even know what they are anymore. They were the precursors to calculators and fax machines.
Right.
But if you were in the business of manufacturing those, Jim, you would be out of business today.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? The buildings are still there. The buildings that operated those manufacturing plants, they're doing something else now.
Have you ever seen a time when there was more cash available for real estate investing in terms of loans?
I have not. It used to be, not too many years ago, that if you applied for a mortgage, you had to conform to all their criteria. Your interview's at 2:15 on Tuesday in 3 weeks' time and all that. Now they say, we have mobile mortgage managers to meet you at a place and time that suits you, even weekends. Mm-hmm. They are throwing money at you. Banks want to give you money, so long as you're using it to buy real estate, of course.
Right.
And my motto is, let them give it to you.
That's right. Use somebody else's money. Hey, thanks, Dolph. Good job today.
It's been a pleasure, as always. Thank you so much.
We'll see you. Dolph DeRoos, ladies and gentlemen. Put a .com on the end of his name, and that's his website, DolphDeRoos.com. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.